And I appreciate that last song so much. Give me the Bible, Star of Gladness Gleaming. This morning's lesson is about, comes from that song, Taste What Is Good. Taste what is good. Our opening text is going to come from Psalm 34. Just a great, great psalm. I don't know if it's how long it's been since you've had a chance to read this psalm, but it's a happy psalm. Psalm 34, we'll focus on verses 8 through 10. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 8. It's considered to be one of David's psalms. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There's no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. David had tasted, and as a result had seen that the Lord was good. The nation of Israel was promised that if they were faithful to Jehovah, they would experience this goodness. And they would be blessed with, notice what it says, every good thing. But the question before us is this truth still valid for us today? And how can we taste good things from the Lord? It's really quite amazing when we look at the Bible how often that idea of tasting comes up. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews uses some of these expressions. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll note verses 4 and 5. Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 5. And we often talk about these verses in the context of repentance, and certainly that's true. But I want us to look at the idea of tasting. Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 5 says, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." Notice the expression he uses there, tasted the good word. Become partakers. This is a very common expression in the Bible about tasting. The Bible talks about tasting the new life in Christ. When we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we have that great verse because that verse 3 says that all blessings are in Christ. So if we partake of Christ, we're partaking of those blessings. Romans 8 talks about being united in Christ. Romans 6 talks about living in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 talks about we're a new creature in Christ. So when we become partakers, when we taste of that, those blessings come to us. But notice, especially as we've read and back in Psalm 34, he says, this comes to those who taste the good word of God. We see so many phrases in the Old and New Testament about tasting God's word. And that tasting God's word is something that is good for us. It is delicious. It satisfies our appetite. So no wonder the song says, "Give me the Bible." Because it's what satisfies us. In Psalm 119, that's of course that great psalm about the Word of God. Every verse in Psalm 119 is about God's Word. And we're just going to read two verses out of that. That's a very long psalm. But notice verse 103, first of all. Psalm 119, 103. Psalm 119, 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Did you hear that? That's how we are to view God's Word. Sweeter than honey. I'm a big fan of honey. But God's Word is sweeter to my soul, to my spirit, than honey is to my physical body. Sweeter. In that same psalm, skip down to verse 131. He says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. We're to have a craving for God's word. Now think about that. We're to crave God's word. Have you ever been hungry? Maybe you've been somewhere and haven't been able to eat for several hours, and you get to the point where you're just craving food. He says, this is how we're supposed to feel toward God's word. We're to crave it. That's how we look forward to tasting it. We're craving it. That's how much we need it. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is an Old Testament passage that Jesus actually quotes when he's in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, talking about what God did to those of that day. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Give me the Bible. That's the only thing that satisfies. Give me the Bible. Jesus used that very verse when he was tempted by Satan. Satan wanted him to turn these stones into bread. Jesus says, no, I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Physical bread doesn't sustain life. God does. And he's given us his word. That satisfies my appetite. That satisfies my hunger. My spirit, my soul needs that. And if I don't get it, I die on the inside. My spirit starts to die. My soul gets sick. Just like we do when we don't feed ourselves properly physically. I get sick and eventually I'll die. The Bible says, far worse is that man who does not feed his spirit, feed his soul with God's word. It is essential. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter mentions this idea of feeding the soul and what's necessary. 1 Peter chapter 2, notice verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read verse 3. I'm sorry, 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Long for. Do you long for God's word? That's what he says we need. We need to long for it. There's that craving. He says, you're just like newborn babies that desire milk. I know that personally. I know that. I've been living with a baby. I know how when it's time to eat, it is time to eat. Not 5 minutes from now, now. I want it, and I want it now. Well, that's the way we are to be about God's Word. We need it, and we need it now. We don't put it off. We need it, we want it, we've got to have it, because it's going to satisfy my hunger. That's how much I need it. So I'm to long for it, I'm to crave it. And he says in our text, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. God's word teaches us, helps us taste that the Lord is gracious, because in its pages is revealed God's grace and mercy and all that he's done for us. I mean, the Bible reveals God's plan for our redemption. We start reading about it in Genesis chapter 3. And we read about it throughout the whole Bible. That God is gracious and God is good, and that's how we taste of God's goodness and the good things that he's prepared for us. In ancient times, milk would often be mixed with something called gypsum. Some of you may know what that is. And it would increase the volume of the milk, but that would also make the milk impure and it would contaminate it. It's not as good for you. Well, that's the same way with God's word. We need the pure word of God. We don't need the word that's been contaminated, tainted. It's got to be the truth. It's got to be all of God's Word. It's got to be the pure Word. It can't be anything else to satisfy us. That's what we need. Just like babies need pure milk. That's what we need. It's got to be pure. And when we do that, when we get that purity and we know how good it tastes, what do? We go back and we go back and we go back. Just like many of us may have a restaurant that we really like and maybe have a particular dish there that we really like. What do? We go back and back. That's the way it needs to be to fill our spirit, to fulfill our soul, because we need it so much. We need that. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, just a few pages back in your Bible, notice what he says beginning in verse 12 about tasting what is good and feeding on God's Word. Give me the Bible. Hebrews 5 verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's some great lessons in these three verses. Let's don't skip. He says, you ought to be teachers by now, but you need someone to teach you again. They become sluggish. They become sluggish. You ever felt sluggish before? Probably have. He says our spirit and souls can become sluggish. And we need to be retaught sometimes what the first principles of God. Why? What had happened to these people? They had reached a point and stopped. They just reached a point and stopped. They hadn't gotten into solid food. There's a time for milk, and then there's a time to move on. We can't continue to feed Carter milk the rest of his life, can we? Well, there's a time for it, and then there's a time for that to stop. And we have to move on to solid food. Why? He won't grow. That's the way it is with us. There's a time for milk, but there's a time for solid food. And we must move on. We must move on to those deeper things of God. We have to develop a taste. We have to develop a taste. We have to have this appetite. And he says, notice in here, one of the things you do is you discern between what's good and evil. That's a part of maturing, isn't it? We mature so that we can discern, oh, this is good, this is bad, this is good for me, this is not good for me. We realize that in the physical world, don't we? When someone doesn't mature and can't tell that difference, we know what? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. So he says, by feeding on God's Word, the meat of God's Word, after we've had the milk, now we need the meat. And when we discern, we're working, and what's that going to do? Build up our appetite for more. When someone stops tasting the good Word of God, and they're not exercising their sense to discern between good and evil, that appetite decreases, and it's just a vicious circle. They taste less and less and less of God's Word. And they become sicker and sicker and sicker. And if something's not done, they will die spiritually. Their soul will die because they're not tasting the good Word of God. They're not saying, give me the Bible, because that's what I need. I must have it. Regardless of what it is we eat physically, bread, milk, honey, solid food, all these expressions for God's Word, all of these have to be received. We can't just look at God's Word. We can't just look at it. This is what James, I think, is telling us in James chapter 1, verse 21. If you were in Hebrews, just a few pages over, you'll come to that verse. James 1, verse 21 says this, says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive the implanted word. It doesn't do us any good to just sip a little milk or just to get a little taste of food. What do we have to do? We have to receive it. You know, just sticking your tongue on food isn't going to do any good for you. That's what he's saying here. He says you've got to receive it into you. And that word, when you receive it, when it becomes implanted, changes who you are, and that's how you grow. So by receiving it, then we're going to change, and then we're going to grow, and then we're going to mature, and then we're going to be built up, just like God's Word tells us. But just sipping and just barely tasting isn't good enough. That's why the Bible repeatedly tells us we are only going to live by God's Word. We're really going to live, and if our spirit and soul is going to thrive and grow, then it's going to do so by receiving that implanted word. And we cannot do that with 5 minutes a day. It will not work. It can never work, and it won't work in the future. It must be a part of us. That's one of the reasons it's so good to memorize Scripture. That way we don't have to have the physical God's Word with us. We can, when we have 30 seconds during the day, we can recall part of God's Word. Why? Because it's there. It's already in us. I don't have to pick up my Bible because I have part of God's Word in me. That helps me grow. That helps me become stronger. Because, like I said, it's in me. And now I can grow. Jesus equated doing God's will with eating this food. In John chapter 4, and I think this is an important point. In John chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, remember Jesus had talked with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. In John chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, his disciples had came back. Verse 31 says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Doing God's will is nourishment for our soul. When we do God's will, we're nourishing ourselves. That's like the second part of taking God's Word in and it becoming a part of us and changing us. That's God's will. God's will for us is for us to change and become more like Christ. Remember that great passage that talks about we look into the mirror and we become what? We're transformed into His image. See, we take God's Word in, it becomes a part of us, and it transforms us. Because God's Word is what tells us what Christ is like. What He thought, what He said, where He went, what He did, how He reacted to people, His relationships with people. That's how we know. So by looking into God's Word, then we become transformed. But we have to take it in, we have to taste it, we have to eat it. It has to become a part of us. And then we can change. And then we can become what He wants us to become. A great verse in the Old Testament. It's a marvelous one to mark in your Bible if you mark your Bibles. In Job chapter 23, verse 12. Just a great verse in what we're talking about here. Job 23, verse 12. These are the words of Job. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It says, I've treasured God's word more than my necessary physical food. I treasure it. I long for it. It means more to me than physical food. See, that's the longing, that's the craving that we need to have for God's Word. The words that came from God. And finally, the kingdom of heaven is often pictured in the Bible as a banquet, as a feast. Jesus used some parables that refer to the kingdom of heaven as a banquet, as a feast, where people from all over the world, all nations and races, would sit down. What a great way to picture the kingdom of heaven. In Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter in the Bible, verses 1 and 2, John writes, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Tasting how gracious the Lord is. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden originally, wasn't it? Kept them alive. Source of life. But because Adam and Eve sinned, the tree of life was moved. And where was it moved to? Heaven. And in heaven, the tree of life will sustain us. It's there by the throne of God, proceeds from the throne of God, as well as that river of life. And we see over and over again how that picture of water and food sustains us. Our job, though, and our responsibility, our obligation, our duty is not just to see it, not just to read it, but to let it become a part of us. Take it in, digest it, and let it change us so that we grow, we mature, we become more like Christ. And that needs to be our goal every day. We wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to do something today that will cause me to be more like Christ by the end of the day." And we do that by tasting the good word of the Lord. And we'll taste His goodness. This morning we have, first of all, a chance to taste His goodness by becoming a Christian. By having our sins washed away in baptism. That's the first way we taste His goodness. And then He allows us, He's given us an opportunity to keep cleansed by repenting and confessing our wrongs. That was the plan of redemption He put in the very beginning, and it's still available today. The blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. This morning, if you need to come, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.